everyone, and welcome back to the Rural Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Albrick with Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and today we have what certainly is our sweetest topic to date. You may or may not know, but September is actually National Honey Month. And here to talk all things bees and honey is Zach Browning, co-owner and operator of Browning's Honey Company near Jamestown, North Dakota. Welcome to the podcast, Zach.
Thank you.
Your family has been in the honey business for a long time. Could you give us a little brief history of how the Browning honey came to be?
Yeah, my great-grandfather started our business in 1921 in eastern Idaho, and ever since it's been everything to do with bees and honey production, and now in the last 20 years we've been involved in commercial pollination services as well.
So how has that operation changed over time? Because I'm guessing the industry today is probably a little bit different than when it started way back when.
Oh, there's been a lot of change. In the early years, bees really weren't moved. They were sedentary in permanent locations. My grandfather took winters off, and honey production was the name of the game. Today, bees are mobile, and they are trucked around the country to do pollination work for lots of different crops. And beekeepers also still produce honey, particularly here in the northern plains during the summer months, which is what we're doing here.
We're coming to you from your operation here just outside of Jamestown, and you have a lot of different animals as well, so it seems like the bees and the honey really accent the rest of what you guys have going on here. Is that pretty common within the industry itself, or beekeepers are involved in different parts of agriculture?
For the most part, we are exceptional in our diversity. Beekeeping is a full-time and a half commitment, and so for the most part, we have decided to create a model which is pretty unique, and so we're looking at trying to have a very sustainable farm and ranch operation in combination with the beekeeping operation, which has worked well to help support the habitat for the bees and several other issues.
What is the size of your operation today?
Our operation, bee-wise, is about 27,000 hives. That number is constantly moving up and down as we see bee losses, hive losses through a number of different causes in the year. This is actually probably the low point. Getting ready for winter, we're pulling out anything that isn't a viable pollinator and essentially consolidating the best hives for winter storage. We would have had more in the earlier part of the year.
Now, it might surprise people to know that North Dakota is actually the number one honey-producing state in the country. With around 220 registered beekeepers, what makes North Dakota a good spot to raise bees?
Well, North Dakota is an exceptional area for raising honey because we've got a rural environment here, and traditionally many of the crops that were grown supported bees very well and contributed to honey production. A lot of that has changed, and recently hive numbers in North Dakota have increased while honey production per hive has gone down significantly. We're actually down about 25% on a per hive basis in honey production here, but because of the augmentation of hives across all the sectors, we're still the number one honey producer. The habitat has changed. And what I mean by habitat is the forage that bees are utilizing to produce honey, not only for surplus, but also to maintain their colonies. And traditionally, crops like sunflowers and canola and alfalfa and volunteer sweet clover and other flowers have been what bees have focused on for producing honey. Since about 2000, the number of acres converted to corn and soy has impacted the amount of foraging opportunities for bees significantly.
Are there certain locations around the state that make for a hot spot for bees, or are operations kind of spread throughout the state?
Beekeepers have located their operations around good forage in typically parts of North Dakota west of the Red River Valley are the major honey production areas. In particular, beekeepers look for conservation areas and alfalfa and good limited agricultural environments. Where the row crops are the most intense, you find the fewest beekeepers. Typically, a good mixture of alfalfa fields and volunteer clover with a mixture of of also sunflowers and canola make the best environments for commercial beekeeping operations.
And when you think of the state's climate, winter comes to mind, of course. Does weather challenge beekeepers in North Dakota?
Well, absolutely, but they have evolved their operations in accordance with those norms. And so typically beekeepers are not here with their bees past about October 15th. And the majority of the bees that are kept here in the summertime make their way to California for almond pollination in February. Somewhere in between there, they're going to be either in Texas or in winter storage facilities in perhaps Idaho, or even resting in the valleys of Northern California waiting for that almond bloom to begin.
You largely answered my next question, is what do beekeepers here do with bees come winter? I've also heard that Texas is a spot that some beekeepers go to as well.
Yeah, so the typical migratory route would include a wintering operation in the southern Gulf Coast, or even the West Coast, where it's a little bit more temperate in the wintertime, and where we can kind of rejuvenate our hives. Not all beekeepers pollinate. The majority do, but some actually just rejuvenate their hives and get ready to raise queens and split their bees in the early spring in the Gulf Coast or on the West Coast.
The average size of bee operations in this state tend to be between 1,000 and 1,500 colonies, mm-hmm. according to official statistics. Could you put this into perspective for us? How many bees make up the average colony?
In the summertime, the peak of the season, hives will typically have 50,000 individuals. In the wintertime, a hive with 20,000 individuals is probably normal.
And how much honey does the average colony produce?
Well, that's kind of an interesting question. That's a changing statistic. So traditionally, North Dakota hives averaged producing 100 pounds of honey per colony. That's probably not the case anymore in most operations. Our operation now produces about 75 pounds per colony, and we attribute that to changing agricultural practices.
What does a honey harvest look like? Obviously, you guys are in full swing here on your farm. But how often do you harvest honey?
Well, it's labor intensive. You know, we start removing honey from the hives in early July, and we're actively doing that right through September. Sometimes the lag will carry us into October as far as extracting that honey, but we want to try to get it done before it gets too cold. And it really takes a lot of people. We try to take advantage of young people that can help out during the summer. And once they go back to school, we want to kind of be turning the corner as far as the harvest goes.
Honey seems like a product that can also have many uses. What do you do with all of your honey?
Our honey is sold mostly to large honey packer operations on the East Coast. And those packers are selling it to the general public and also to bakeries and food processors who use it in 100 different ways, probably 1,000 different ways.
And of course, genetics play a critical role in all types of animal agriculture. Is breeding bees an important factor within this industry and your operation?
It's an important factor, and it is gaining interest and importance as we deal with many of the other maladies that have affected bees and beekeeping. We've got to find long-term solutions, and genetics is really where it is. I think in order to be able to deal with the varroa mite, for instance, effectively without chemicals, we've got to find bees that are naturally resistant, and that means breeding.
And how do you go about keeping track of that? Because it seems like with all the bees that you have, it's not as easy as just tagging cattle and doing things that way. Bees seem like a much bigger challenge with, speaking of the amount of animals that you have.
Fortunately, there's a lot of science involved, and we have some very, very good people involved, both Department of Agriculture research and also land-grant university research that is helping to unravel some of those really important questions. Beekeepers like myself spend most of their time caring for the bees. They entrust doing the breeding to specialized beekeepers who are raising queens. And those beekeepers are going through a number of different very, very rigorous tests to determine whether bees are more effective at one thing or another. And so we're talking about mite resistance and honey production and overwintering ability and many different traits. And so that process is involved and specialized and kind of maintained within a niche in the industry.
Again, we're joined by Zach Browning of Browning Honey Company. Zach, although the beekeeping industry seems to largely fly underneath the radar within agriculture, it certainly has grabbed headlines the last few years in terms of the decline in the population, which you briefly discussed earlier. Could you spend a little bit of time talking about this decline and what you've noticed around your operation?
Yeah, sure. And you're right. You know, for the last 10 years, bees have been in the headlines, and rightly so. Honeybees are responsible for pollinating, which means producing, one-third of our diet. And in fact, of the 100 crops that produce 70% of human food, honeybees are needed for 90 of those crops. So they're pretty important. For beekeepers, it's not just about how many hives we lose, and that is what, you know, what the headlines report. The economics behind the losses are more important for beekeepers. We're seeing increased winter mortality, decreased honey production, and higher input costs. And those things are making it very tough to make ends meet for a lot of commercial beekeepers. We need answers. We know that the stress that is causing this decline in bee health is multifactorial. It involves pests, pathogens, poor nutrition, and pesticides. Dealing with one of those four issues is not going to create a situation where bees are suddenly stable again. We've got to combat all of those things, and the best way to do that is to recognize that bees need to have a good foundation, and we can give that to them as beekeepers by providing good nutrition, controlling varroa mites, working with farmers to avoid pesticide exposure, and continually monitoring the pest and disease levels in those hives and treating them properly. But that takes a lot more time and labor and money than it used to, and so beekeepers have adapted. And those that haven't have already failed. So within the commercial sector, you mentioned earlier that, you know, the average beekeeper in North Dakota has somewhere around 1,500 colonies of bees. Well, that represents consolidation in the market. We have more bees if we can do it. But there are less beekeepers, especially in the commercial sector. Now, the headlines will say there's actually more beekeepers now than ever before and more bees. Well, as the bees have been in the headlines, many, many people have been interested in becoming hobbyist beekeepers and having them in their backyard. But that doesn't represent the pollinator force. It doesn't represent the majority of the bees. Within the commercial sector, the beekeepers that have been able to do this successfully are doing it in much greater numbers.
Is there anything being done by the North Dakota Beekeepers Association to help stop this decline, maybe educational efforts or partnering with universities and research labs?
Yeah, the state of North Dakota has been great. The Department of Agriculture has helped us to try to create a pollinator plan to help protect bees from insecticides. They've promoted good forage and responsible stewardship of habitat. And they have also supported university research as well as national surveys of pests and disease. So I think that, you know, our Department of Agriculture in particular has recognized the importance of beekeeping, not only to North Dakota, but to the rest of the country's food supply. And they have really got behind the efforts and really proud to live here in a state where beekeepers are appreciated.
Zach, if there's anybody out there listening to this podcast that's thinking about getting into the beekeeping industry, what advice would you have for them?
Well, first of all, do your homework and don't get discouraged when you fail, because there are a lot of variables that have to be considered in keeping bees. It's a tough profession to learn. It's best to find a mentor and work with somebody who's been around the block a few times. And just be aware that it is a full-time commitment. Bees need attention all the time, and these days, if you ignore the bees, they're not going to do well.
And if people want to find out more information, maybe on beekeeping or even your own operation, where can they go?
Well, they can go to the Department of Agriculture resources online, or they can contact the North Dakota Beekeepers Association. or the American Beekeeping Federation, for that matter, which is also online.
Well, this has certainly been educational. Me, as a person on the outside looking in, this has been fantastic. A lot of great information. I appreciate it. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
That's Zach Browning, co-owner and operator of Browning Honey Company near Jamestown, North Dakota. That's going to do it for this episode of the Rural Perspectives Podcast, which is a production of Ag Country Farm Credit Services. To find out more, you can visit www.agcountry.com.